Hour number two of our broadcast, a whole lot to cover, including a story I intended to go to at the top of this broadcast. I told you, I have ADHD, big time. And I want to put a little disclaimer on this before I tell you this story. As a heart check, let me just tell you, I am so concerned that we have become so politicized that even many of us Republicans view things in political ways. So I'm just going to ask you to take off your political lens just for a moment and to wear the mantle of humanity just for a minute while I share this story. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Supreme Court Justice, she had a fall in her office and she has fractured three ribs. Three ribs on her left side. She was admitted for observation and treatment. This woman's 85 years old, 85. She's up there. She experienced some discomfort overnight, went to George Washington University Hospital. That's the information that we have here. Tests show that she fractured three ribs, admitted for observation and treatment. So pray for her. And remember, she's a human being, not merely a person to hope and pray out of the way so there can be another conservative put on the court. I just had to put that out there because that just went through my mind this morning because of the atmosphere that seems to have developed here. The other thing I want to do, by the way, want to let you know how to contact us, our Ingalls Advantage talk line number, 800-928-1110. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line is 71307. I want to give something away. Now, those of you who are in the upstate, I am not discriminating against you. I just want to give you a disclaimer, okay? At the very top of this, I want to let you know this is an event that takes place in Charlotte next week. So think about this before you call, because I don't want these to go to waste. If you're willing to come to Charlotte for this, please consider and call in. All right? We've got a pair of tickets to the Veterans in Leadership Business Speaker Series featuring veteran Todd Reed. He was the first wounded veteran to return and become a police officer. This event takes place next week at the Carmel Country Club in Charlotte. So keep that in mind. So, in the context of this day, what is today's date, by the way? This is the 8th. I'm going to take the 8th caller. You can call us right now. The 8th caller will get these tickets. And please, don't call unless you're willing to go to the event next week. Even if it's out of town. If you're in the upstate and you want to drive here, hey, go for it. But I wanted to put that disclaimer out there at the beginning. So call away. Those lines are ringing right now. One thing I wanted to get to yesterday, we can finally get to today, is the conversation about the next leader in the House. Now, some months ago, I told you about Jim Jordan. Jim Jordan, I've gotten to meet a couple of times. Most recently, there was a Liberty event in Northern Kentucky. And I had an opportunity to talk to Jim Jordan, also Ron Paul, Thomas Massey, Governor Bevin, you may remember. That was the last time I saw Jim Jordan. And he was talking about his bid for Speaker of the House. Well, this has changed now. Now that we know the House will be in Democrat hands in January, we now have a contest for the minority leader. That's an important distinction, minority leader. So Jim Jordan is making it clear he still wants to lead the Republicans. I want you to listen to this brief segment that was done on The Hill TV with Buck Sexton. And he makes his plans very clear. Listen up.
Your name has been talked about for quite a while as somebody who may decide to throw his hat in the ring.
Yeah,
are you going?
I plan to run for minority leader. Yes. Look, I think in 2016, the American people elected Republicans to come here and change this town. I think the president is doing just that. but I don't think they see the same intensity from folks in Congress, folks in the House of Representatives.
And that's a problem, isn't it? Not seeing, and I think this is kind of what Mark Harris was talking about. There's got to be an intensity associated. Remember I said there's the words and then there's the spirit. Those things have to go together. Now, you can spout all you want during the campaign season, and you can make all kinds of promises during the campaign season. I want to see that warrior spirit in evidence in Washington, D.C. We need bold leadership. We don't need pale pastels. Who said that? Wasn't that Ronald Reagan? But I'll tell you what, the Republican Party has been offering us pastels, and that might be a compliment. They've been offering us pastels over and over and over. You know, you want to do an experiment? I just challenge you to do this. Go down the list of the, and in fact, I'm going to do this because I need to update these numbers. I had these numbers almost memorized several years ago. But you need to go through and look at the numbers, the Liberty scores for the members of the Republican leadership team. It will absolutely appall you. Do that in the House and do that in the Senate. And then I think that should answer all of your questions as to why we get crap sandwiches out of the Republican Party. And yes, there are, you know, it's great that we're getting judges through. I applaud Mitch McConnell for that. Yes, we got some tax cuts. Great. That's wonderful. But at the same time, we have to come back to the reality. In terms of legislation, we got to ask the question, why do we keep funding Planned Parenthood, for instance? Why do these things keep happening under Republican control? Why do we keep passing these omnibus bills and these stupid temporary spending bills when you've got control of the entire thing? I get it. When you've only got one house and you didn't have the presidency, there was an excuse you could offer back then. There aren't any excuses anymore. Unfortunately, now we're going to have another excuse.
Well, we don't have the house anymore. All the appropriations bills have to start in the house.
I mean, yeah. How long do you think it's going to take before we start to hear that?
Oh, we're kind of up against the wall now because now the... You know, Nancy Pelosi has the House, and they're the ones who are...
Yeah. So just brace yourself for the excuses, because there will be plenty of them. Now they'll be able to blame everything on Nancy Pelosi. Just putting that out there as part of the conversation. Coming up, we'll talk about this little nonsense that happened yesterday at the White House news conference. You know, sometimes you really gotta wonder. Also, a change for Attorney General. That's coming up. Back on the Vince Coakley radio program. And wow, here I was about ready to go to a caller who held on for so long and then gave up. You can't do that. Nonetheless, so we talked about Jim Jordan. He was running for speaker. Now he's running for minority leader. And this is really one of the first big tests, a very important test, because how members of Congress vote, to me, it's an indication of what we can expect. Somebody's going to vote for Kevin. I'm just going to say this right now. Anybody who votes for Kevin McCarthy, I'm going to be very, very skeptical of. And that's putting it mildly. Just for the heck of it. Let me look this up here. Kevin McCarthy, Conservative Review. I think I've looked this up before. Oh, my goodness. CR Top 25 Rhinos Scorecard. If his name comes up on this list, you know, if this comes up as first in the search when I put his name in under Conservative Review, that is not a good sign. But he wants to be your minority leader, I'm sure. You know, I'm kind of curious. I don't know that I've heard anything out of him since the election, whether he still wants to be minority leader. Oh, my goodness. This list. You know, just for the heck of it, just for the fun of it, why don't I go through this list? Oh, goodness. This is mind-boggling. Just for the fun of it, Larry is back, and I'm glad Larry's back. Go ahead. You have some comments about my comments, I assume. Good morning.
Hi, Vince. How you doing, bud? Good to talk to you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Vince, it's Larry Shaheen. How you been?
Doing pretty good, sir.
Good. So wanted to ask real quick. I hear you saying that you want more fighters and more people in Congress to do what they can to help advance the Republican cause. It seems like we've got those here in North Carolina, but you know, how do you respond to the messaging when we lost every Republican in the county and we lost almost every Republican sheriff in the urban areas? How do we balance the needs of what you're saying to fire up the rural base without losing our urban supporters?
Yeah, you're talking about that balance. Are you talking about that balance between, you know, for instance, there are a lot of people here, let's be honest, who've moved from the Northeast, and they are not as conservative. They may be Republicans, but they're not as conservative. Is that what you're concerned about?
No, that's not what I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about what looks like to me in the demographic shifts. You're seeing suburban women, suburban men who grew up here, are from here, in places like Matthews, Huntersville, Cornelius, you know, some of our other urban areas in Wake County, some of our areas in New Hanover County. These are folks who are ages 25 to 45 who are Republicans, have grown up Republicans, have
right.
grown up conservatives, and they did not vote for Republicans this time.
Why do you think that is, Larry?
I don't know, Vince. That's why I'm asking you.
Well, here's
you seem to think that the answer is more and more aggressiveness.
No, I'm not talking about aggressiveness. This is only part of the equation, Larry. Part of the problem, here's my perspective. One of our big problems is I'm not sure people even know what conservatism is. And unfortunately, I think it's been confused with personalities. And in the process, what's happened is people, there's not a lot of engagement over ideas. And I think the ideological battle is getting lost here. And as a result, I think there are a lot of people out there. I'm sure you meet them too, Larry. There are also a lot of people out there who are just sick of all of it. They have been burned so many times by politicians who've made promises, and they just figure they're all liars. They throw them all into the same category. See, I don't know where these people fit. The people didn't show up. In fact, that's a good question to put out there. If you did not vote and you're a Republican, I want to hear from you. I'd love to hear your perspective as to why you did not vote, especially if you're a Republican. But I think that's a subject to research, Larry. A part of me would be very reluctant to speculate about this. I'd want to hear from people directly about why they're not showing up.
Well, I don't think the showing up's the problem, Vince. When you look at the numbers in Mecklenburg County, we had more Republicans voting than Democrats in almost every single legislative district. We had more Republicans voting than Democrats in a lot of those places, but we still lost.
What? Let's go back to the beginning of this call then, Larry. You must have some ideas and some theories. I'd love to hear it.
Well, I would love to. I mean, that's the question, Vince. We got to solve that Rubik's Cube. We got to cut the Gordian knot here. We got to figure out how we keep the party arguing for conservatism and being able to expound and create people who believe in conservative principles while still messaging to those, you know, folks who are my age, 35 years old, who are going to be able to do what they can. Because, Vince, I got to tell you, you know, I know a lot of folks who are my friends, my fraternity brothers, my folks that I went to college with, who voted Democrat for one reason and one reason only, because they just don't like the rhetoric.
See, I get that, Larry. See, here, let me tell you something here. Let me make a very important distinction. There's a difference between being passionate and being motivated and energetic and being rude.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're talking about?
That's my question to you, Ben.
See, because I think... Because I get that.
Because you said you're... Correct me if I'm wrong, because this is how I took your comment. Your comment was that Republicans need to get more aggressive. They need to get more fighters. They need to be more on the offensive. And I don't disagree with the offensive part, but in terms of how we're messaging, shouldn't we be trying to strike a balance between what folks in the urban areas are saying about how we can adjust our message to win them back, because we're losing those folks.
Well, see, and this is, Larry, I don't know how often you listen to this program, but yes, I address these things all the time, Larry, because I do think there is a disconnect here. And this is why I said you have to make a distinction between being strident and being a fighter. That doesn't mean that you have to be a pain in the ass and be insulting and be an unlikable person, because I do think that's a big part of this issue, Larry. I think there are people who are turned off. In fact, interestingly enough, we're going to get to this a little bit later on, this exchange that happened yesterday in the White House press room. Larry, we are up against a hard break, and I'd love to continue.
No, you're good, man.
In fact, I want you... we've talked before. I'm going to put you on hold. I want to get your information, because I'd love to have this continue this conversation off air as well. This is a very important subject. Larry's hit something that I think is vitally important, that, and I've said this before, having the right ideas is not the end of the story. You've got to have the right ideas and communicate those in a right spirit. I think this has been blown to hell in the past few years. And I think a lot of people confuse being against being politically correct. And they've gone to the other extreme of being rude and obnoxious. That's not appealing to anybody. If you're trying to win people over and you think the way to win them over is to be obnoxious and to put, you know, pithy Facebook posts making fun of liberals and other things, that's not going to win anybody. In fact, that's going to have the very opposite effect. We're going to talk much more about this and generate another call. And yes, I will get to this top 25 rhino list. Stay with us. Back on the Vince Coakley radio program, when I've done some further examination of this top 25 rhino list, I realized this is an old list. Now, the thing is, I can't find a date. In fact, I was thinking about texting my friend. Let's see. Oh, okay. There we go. I was going to. Oh, now they've updated it. All right. I think I'm on the right track now. I had an old list of the top 25 rhinos, and I think that I have this together now. I'm just going to breeze through this quickly, and yes, we will get to your calls very quickly. Some of these people, I'm sure you have no idea who they are. But let me just tell you something. If you have a Liberty score below 50, you ought to resign and go home. I mean, think about it. A 50? By the way, so you understand Conservative Review, what they do, they don't check certain scores. Okay, they don't do certain votes. As I understand this, and they have some very talented people, Daniel Horowitz among them, who do extensive research of every single solitary vote this person has made in Congress. So it's not selective. See, what Heritage will do is they'll tell them, oh, we're going to score this vote. Don't tell them you're going to score the vote. You just count all of the votes. And you do a cumulative score based on all of their votes the entire career. So there's really no opportunity for rehabilitation here. So if you're a screw-up for 5 years, you can't come along for a year and think, okay, it's election time, I'm going to get a 100%. Ain't going to happen. Let me breeze through this, just to the people who are relevant to you and people you'd be familiar with. And it pains me to even say this. Richard Burr, 42%. 42%. He's number 18. The man who wanted to be the Speaker of the House, and now I assume wants to be Minority Leader, he has a 36. He's number 17 on the list. Come on, people. You can't elect people like this and let your member of Congress vote for people like this and expect to get a different result. This is why bold colors, not pale pastels. Orrin Hatch, thank goodness he's gone. Number 16, a 24. How the hell do you get a 24? Right above him at number 15, I'm sad to say. Both North Carolina senators have failing scores. Tom Tillis, how long has he been there? All of 3 years? He's got a 38. 38. How the hell do you get a 38? I'm serious. This blows my mind. Thank God this guy's gone. I think we got an upgrade in Tennessee. Bob Corker, a 50 at number 12. John Cornyn, isn't he the number two guy in the Senate right now? He has a 33. Good riddance to Jeff Flake. My goodness, good thing he's gone. He had a 60. John McCain, rest his soul, 31. The outgoing Speaker of the House, 35%. I'm asking you a question here. Do you wonder why you don't get conservative legislation? Because these people, the people I've just described to you, are not conservatives. They are campaign conservatives. I know it pains me to say it. I don't dislike these people personally and wish no ill will upon them. But you need to know what their real voting records are. And you need to understand why you're not getting what you asked for. You want to talk about drain the swamp? You can't vote for this and then tell me you want to drain the swamp. You can vote for 100 Donald Trumps. You will not drain the swamp. Do you understand this? Lamar Alexander, 17%. Yes, it's a joke, isn't it, John?
Terrible.
17.
That's like my high school algebra. Pretty bad.
That is scary. Lisa Murkowski, do you remember that whole fiasco that went on in Alaska? When she lost the primary, did a write-in campaign? You want to talk about freaking low information voters? How in the world do you reject your Republican nominee who certainly could have done much better than a 22? And this really goes low. Number three, this is not a shocker at all. 21 years in D.C. Susan Collins, she has a 10. A 10! Come on, give up the seat. Give up the office. Why should we spend one darn dime of your money that you contribute to this party to help somebody like that get elected? Why? What's the point? At number two is Mitch McConnell. He has a 36. So let me get this straight. Paul Ryan has a 35. Mitch McConnell has a 36. Now, please explain to me. It doesn't make any sense. And topping the list, despite the great display we saw out of him during the Supreme Court hearings, topping the list of rhinos with his 33% score is none other than Lindsey Graham. Now again, I remind you, I don't mind you going and asking these people why they have these liberty scores. I'm sure they'll talk about methodology, and they may go to Heritage. Oh, Heritage gave me this score. Whatever it is, go ask them. But about these leaders, you need to ask your members of Congress why they vote for these people. Because there's no excuse. There's no darn excuse to vote for Kevin McCarthy. I don't know how this thing is going to go down, but I'll tell you this. For the most part, I don't want anybody on this program who votes for any of the people on this list. I really don't. Because you're so terribly lacking in judgment. Gosh, this bothers me. Really does. Pete, you got about a minute.
Morning, Vince. Vince, I don't know the answers to the issues of why we did perform, I believe, poorly in the midterm. We underperformed anyway. Given how well things are going, I think the economy's strong. You know, there's relative peace around the world, and why didn't we do better? I will say this. I listen to you a lot and don't call very frequently, and we disagreed on some things. And what I did disagree with, as long as Trump is winning and we're winning, his personality really didn't bother me personally for myself, okay? But this is proof right here to me that you're right. The tone probably needs to change until a guy like Vince Coakley can sign on happily. And I'm going to be listening for you going forward. I'm hoping the president will cut it back some. I think he's rallied his base. I don't think they're going to leave him if he starts to tone it down some. I mean, he's shown us what he can do. But I think I have to agree with you. I made some comments yesterday about other members of Congress that didn't want him to campaign with them and kind of slighted them. I really don't know what that gains anything to be.
I hear what you're saying, Pete. Let's keep talking. Do call again. We're up against a hard break. We got a lot to get to in the last segment. Don't go away. Hold on. All right, so much to get to in this final segment. And I want to first, those of you who are on the line, you can hold on, especially Mark. Hold on, because I do want to get to this segment that occurred yesterday at the White House. You know, Jim Acosta, can we just agree? Jim Acosta is a jackass, okay? Let's just agree on that. I want you to hear the clash that occurred yesterday in the White House press room. Listen up.
Here we go.
That this caravan was an invasion. As you know, Mr. President, caravan was not an invasion. It's a group of migrants moving up from Central America towards the border with the U.S.
Thank you for telling
and
me that.
That's not an invasion.
Honestly, I think you should let me run the country. You run CNN.
All right.
And if you did it well, your ratings would be
ask,
much better.
Mr. President, I had one other question if I may ask on the Russia investigation. Are you concerned that...
I'm not concerned about anything with the Russian investigation because it's a hoax. That's enough. Put down the mic.
Mr. President, are you worried about indictments coming down in this investigation? Mr. President.
I'll tell you what, CNN should be ashamed of itself having you working for them. You are a rude, terrible person. You shouldn't be working for CNN. Go ahead.
I think even other media people are like, Jim Acosta, shut up and sit down. Shut up. And you're not seeing this. I don't know if you've seen the video of this. There's a woman who goes around and hands the mic to the reporters. He actually is resisting her trying to take the mic back. Practically pushes her. She ought to file an assault charge against him. I mean, I'm serious. This guy's rude. He's a nitwit. I want you to also, though, hear this commentary from Chris Steyerwalt, because I agree with this 100%. Listen up.
Chris Steyerwalt joins me now, Fox News politics editor. What do you think?
Well, this is great news for Jim Acosta, who the news about Jeff Sessions had overshadowed. All of the clip rolls that he was probably going to get to watch tonight and do all the hits and talk about himself as the center of this story had gotten blown away by Jeff Sessions. But now, with this revelation, it brings him back to the pulsating core of the pointless conflict between this administration and reporters.
So you think the White House made a mistake doing it because it just gives him more attention?
No, I think it works for the White House. I think it works. I think that this pointless bickering and unprofessional, childish behavior serves both sides of the equation. I think they both get what they want out of it. John Stewart said the other day that the president is so smart and that he knows that if he appeals to the vanity of reporters, that they will take the bait. I watched a bunch of good questions in that press conference. I watched, of course, John Roberts do it, but Major Garrett, down the line,
absolutely,
national and international, good substantive questions. And we get to ask so few questions of this president, relatively speaking. Why are you wasting them for these performative, this silliness to do this stuff? And now the White House gets to keep the story going, which is we're at war with the lying press, the enemy of the people. Aren't you the enemy of the people? Who cares? Who on earth cares except for the fact that it serves the interests of both this administration and that reporter?
And Chris Wallace said today that he thought that Jim Acosta embarrassed himself.
It was absurd.
And he thought it was rude. So we'll see where it goes from here. The drama continues. And as you point out, the president has said, you know, it gets everybody off the subject.
Gets everybody off the subject. That's right.
Pointless. And I so appreciate the straight down the line perspective on this. I agree with everything that was communicated there by Chris Steyerwald. This whole thing is childish. Whole thing. Now, let me come back to something. And I know we'll have plenty of more time to talk about this another day. But, you know, I've heard people say, you know, as long as the economy's great, president's doing all these wonderful things, you know, and they'll say, if I hire a plumber, I don't care if he's having affairs. I don't care. You know, I've thought more about this. You know what? We're not talking about your plumber. We're not talking about your electrician. We're talking about the leader of the United States of America. And I think there is a certain dignity and decorum that goes with that office, period. It's not just about money. It really isn't. There are other things that matter. I think one of the worst things that the president can do is to lower himself to the level of Jim Acosta. By the way, he's been denied White House entry. Great. I think that's perfectly appropriate. But you know what? This subject ought to be dead now. I'm just saying this. This subject ought to be dead. There should be no further discussion about Jim Acosta. And it's not appropriate to broad brush Jim Acosta and CNN. Am I a fan of CNN? No, I'm not. Do they get everything right? No. Do they get everything wrong? No. They have a place to play. They have a role to play, just as Fox, just as MSNBC, though I don't watch all of these networks. There's something about our discourse that has to change. And there's a leadership that is needed now more than ever to bring people together and unite them over things that matter. Now, I don't care about the personality of Jim Acosta. If they ban him from the White House forever, great, go for it. But I don't want to hear a continual beating of this drum, because that will serve no purpose. Go back to my conversation with Larry earlier in this show. What is this going to do to help us win the hearts and minds of millions of Americans, or people right here in the Carolinas, to conservative ideas? See, we're not even getting there, because we're bogged down by nonsense. We did not even get to the fact that Jeff Sessions was shown the door. Boy, is that a shocker. Not? Am I a Jeff Sessions fan? No. But we will talk more about what this means for the ongoing investigation, other things. We'll have plenty of time to continue that conversation. But we're out of time. I want to remind you, coming up tomorrow, the founder of Peacemakers on this broadcast. Please, you absolutely need to hear this information. I think it'll be very helpful for all of us. In the meantime, have yourselves a great day, and God bless you. Take care.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.